This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Monday morning, Amy Jacobson here. Sean from Elmwood Park in for Dan Proft for today and tomorrow. How are you, honey?
I'm wonderful. How you doing, Toots?
Why are you whispering?
I don't want to wake the snow bunnies. We've been infested down here.
Been what?
You know, they start hopping around, making noise, coffee, pans slamming.
Yeah.
Who needs that?
Okay. All right, so big news while you were sleeping. Guess what? A stimulus bill is coming. Yes, Congress voted late last night to pass a $1 trillion package. How much money are Americans going to see? Is it even worth it? 312-642-5600. Turnkey DePro answer line. 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Here's the deal. $284 billion for small business loans, the PPP program. $25 billion in rental assistance. $600 direct payment per adult and child. So how much are you going to be getting? Because you've got, what, seven or eight kids, Sean?
You know this is going to aggravate me.
I know this.
You know that I read it. You know that I saw Mitt Romney with his perfect hair and his perfect bull dung with his magic underpants. I'm so sick of that moron. $600.
$600. First time around, we got $1,200, but $600, I mean,
it's what Mitt Romney spends on lunch. Really?
No, that's probably what you spend on a big dinner, right, with folks?
Here's the problem I have with this. These frauds, corporatist scumbags, they literally spend that on lunch.
Yeah.
They just bought your soul for it. Because you're going to turn your head, take your $600, and you could care less about the $82 billion given to the teachers' union. You could care less about the
right. $82 billion for colleges and schools. For what? What are they even doing?
It's not even for colleges or schools. That's the cover. It's for the teachers' union and the teachers. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's a big splash payment. $10 billion for child care. What the hell you need child care for? You made every kid stay home.
Exactly. $300 enhanced unemployment benefits. Is that going to help? I mean, people that are struggling to pay their bills because of these draconian lockdowns by Pritzker and other Democratic governors, they can't. $300 is nothing. Maybe it'll pay a cell phone bill, maybe 1 week's of grocery. Groceries at it, but the $600 too, I just think that's a slap in the face. And President Trump, he even tweeted out he wanted more money to get in the hands of Americans. He tweeted out, get it done, all in capital, Sean, and give them more money in direct payments.
And that was always my argument with Trump, was the Trumponomics. Because did you realize there's $15 billion in grants for theater operators? So in other words, if you have a theater,
right,
you just stay in business and wait for the handout.
Right. You don't have to.
I mean, this is.
I see what you're saying.
This is how you implode. I don't care how big your economy is. This is $1 trillion. And they just passed a $1 trillion one 2 weeks ago that they're not talking about. That's $2 trillion inside of a month. And you don't think you're going to have inflation that's going to kill anybody that isn't already rich?
There's one part of it too, Sean. I was hoping you could help me out. The COVID-19 aid bill also ends the practice of surprise medical billing. Now, what the heck does that mean?
I could tell you what that means.
What?
That means when you call an ambulance and they take your relative away, and a month later you get hit with an $1,800 ambulance bill. Surprise!
You were surprised.
That's what that is.
Yeah. One time I got a piece of turkey stuck in my...
Easy now. Take it easy.
No,
there,
I stuck
Richard
in my
here.
Not my in my food pipe, and it. I had to take an ambulance. It was $6,000. $6,000.
That's probably because you aggravated the hell out of the
paramedics. No, I didn't. I was at
they
one hospital,
said,
and they said we can't
this
help you.
Broad, whatever we
no.
can.
And they said we have to take you. We can't deal with that issue right now, so we have to take you to a different hospital. And they wouldn't let me drive a car or take an Uber. And I was completely conscious and fine. They said hospital protocol, and I said I don't want to take an ambulance. And it cost $6,000 to go about 1 mile.
That's the why I used to have an old uncle who liked to really waste a lot of money at the Maywood Park racetrack.
Yeah.
Had a heart attack. As he's having a heart attack, my aunt says, come on, let's call the ambulance. He said, screw the ambulance. Went down. He drove the Chrysler New Yorker. I think he might have lit a cigar on the way. That's how you do it.
Craig in Mount Greenwood, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, Dan, John, hey, thanks for taking my call. Sean, he's always stealing my thunder because we think a lot alike on this subject. these rotten.
Stop insulting me.
Now listen, these people, you can see it, and rather than let their businesses go back to work, let the moms and dads send their kids off to school and everything, they want to crush this economy. They want to destroy this place and everything, and have everybody dependent on this government. I mean, you can see everything they do, this move they make and everything. We got to get this thing straightened out here, man. What do you think, Sean, man? How are we going to do it?
I think the game is over. Now you're going to chase the little light on the wall like a cat, like Amy's cat. When she wants to keep it busy, she puts
the
disco ball
out.
On. Yeah. Just put the disco ball on. The cat just jumps around.
Thanks,
that's the American citizen. And in the meantime, the scumbags like Mitt Romney, the corporatist whores, they cash their friends out. They cash themselves out. And they become more and more rich. And they laugh at us as they order bottles of wine that are $1,400. And they give you $600 to make you shut up. And you'll do it.
Yeah. Speaking of, lording over the people, on Friday, J.B. Pritzker, Governor Pritzker, announced
another genius.
That. Well, here's the thing. Region 1, 6, and 9, they're doing the right things. They should be allowed the freedoms to reopen small businesses, to reopen restaurants and bars for indoor dining. And he moved the goalposts again.
We're still seeing 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 cases every day. And we still have a positivity rate that's far from the WHO recommended 5%. Having said that, it's certainly our intention as we get through these holidays to begin to look at, you know, without having holidays ahead right after the new year to get to reducing the tiers for various of our regions. But very much appreciate that everybody. Remember, the reward here
what's the reward?
Ultimately is we have fewer people getting sick and fewer people dying. And we, of course, want to allow businesses to do more as soon as we possibly can.
The problem is, Sean, is that old people die. We are never going to stop old people from dying. That is not going to happen. And what happened? Flattening the curve, reducing hospitalizations, and now it's just eradicating the virus. How the hell did we let that happen?
I don't know.
Is he still in power? If you look around you, other states, they're more reasonable. The governors are. I don't know who is telling him that this is a good idea. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line. Yes, sir, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's all right. I was behind an Escalade yesterday down in Florida, and that son of a gun was really tilted to the left.
Yeah.
And the plate said, big girl. I was convinced it was his wife. I was trying to cut her off in traffic, you know, because I get even.
Oh,
I know they're roaming around down here somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know where, and I'm not looking for them. But, I mean, what does that say?
I don't know. Maybe
when your family doesn't even follow the own rules that you put in place, the rules saying that you should not travel unless it's absolutely necessary. I mean, Clay County Judge Michael McCaney, he said it best. He said, when laws do not apply to those who make them, people are not being governed. They are being ruled.
See, you think that because you are an optimist, you think marriages are all good, and you think he said, here, honey, I'm going to protect you. You go down to Florida. Then I'll lock down these idiots in Illinois. That's how you think it works. I know how it really works. She said any state that was stupid enough to elect your big derriere one I'm going to live in. And she moved. Let me tell you something.
Half their family doesn't live here. It's that bad here.
Oh, please. This poor thing thinks orgasm is a planet next to Pluto. You think she's going to put up with this idiot?
Greg and LaGrange, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning.
Hi.
Well, Cheer up, Greg. Stop bringing us down. Jeez, Louise, they're calling my wife.
Sean, you're my launching point on Sunday night, so this is what you get. Thank you for... here's the problem. We're not going to go back. How do we let this happen, Amy? It's because we've caved as a society. That's how we let it happen. We've completely caved. You have a doctor, Dr. Birx, that basically wants her own advice. You have another doctor, Dr. Fauci, that doesn't know the difference between an infectious case fatality rate and, a case fatality rate. This is what happens when you appoint people that are all-knowing and know everything, and they are your judge, jury, and in some cases, I hate to say, those that finish you off, because all this floating money does is, like Sean says, there's inflation out there. Just go shopping, okay? Just go shopping, and you see it. And it's not the lifeline. It'll be something else. And down the road, they'll have to give you another $1 trillion or close to $1 trillion because the new normal is whenever you have an outbreak for the flu, this is what you get. See, I'm in Sean's camp in so much that I don't think in my generation we get this back. I still think that what you need to do is continue to push to get the schools open. I don't see anything in there about getting schools open. Of course,
they're giving them 10 billion. How much? Oh, it's 82 billion for colleges and schools. For what?
Oh, outstanding.
For what?
Outstanding.
More safety, plexiglass, HEPA filtration systems for what?
No, President Biden-elect basically said that they want to redo all the heating and air conditioning systems in all these schools. Come on. Yeah. You know what? We're on the hook for this. The greatest thing you can give people to get back on their feet is to let them open up, use their intelligence and make them make intelligent business decisions and get people back on their feet. Not only to get money in their pockets, feed their families, but to get their minds back in a productive, successful, positive
Thanks,
role.
Greg. Yeah, you're right. Because, there is a pandemic or epidemic in the middle of this pandemic, and that is mental health issues. People are losing their minds because when you lose your business, you can't do what you love. You feel trapped, and you just do things that are out of character.
I wouldn't know. I haven't changed my routine much. Listen, Amy, I got to tell you, if you have a business and you provide paid leave, meaning you pay people who do nothing, they sit at home and you send them their money, you get tax credits for $1.8 billion in this bill. But to move the COVID vaccine around, they've got $30 billion. See, they pay their friends off. You get nothing, crumbs. They get the cake.
Here's Nancy Pelosi last night.
What took so long is because we could not get our Republican colleagues crush the virus.
We couldn't get our Republican colleagues to crush the virus. She's the one who stalled the first, during the first week of November during the election because she didn't want Trump to look good. So she's the one who stalled. Now she's, of course, blaming Republicans.
Did she put in her husband's dentures? What the hell is she talking about? She sounds like she got a mouthful of sandwich.
No,
she's got a
mask on. Just listen.
What took so long is because we could not get our Republican colleagues to crush the virus.
That's what happens when you have dentures and a mask.
Sometimes the whole damn government's like Cocoon 3. What are these people, 100? I mean, oh, do they ever go away?
No.
What the hell's wrong?
It's like
my Aunt Mary Fauci.
They don't go away.
Shut the hell up, you old bags.
And in reference to what the caller said about Dr. Birx, what she did at Thanksgiving, she went to her home on this island off of Delaware with three generations. Her daughter, her granddaughter, she did exact opposite of what she's been telling the American people to do. Ugh. Jim in Crown Point, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning. This is going to go on till January 20th because all of these states are holding out for the government to bail out their pensions, all of their health care. Yeah. And, I got to thinking, how are we printing all this money and there's no inflation? Well, I started to Google, and I came across an article that said the only reason we don't have inflation is because when you buy any country that buys oil, they have to buy it in American dollars. So in other words, they can't use gold, they can't use diamonds. So we have the stranglehold. But if we ever go to the yen, this will be a house of cards. You won't believe how far this falls.
It's not even the yen, it's cyber.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today. 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. 6:30 or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
I love the music, Justin. Who
it's
is this?
It's a little creepy, boy.
No, it's defines the times.
Yeah, 2020. Sounds like you're going to get murdered by a transvestite in a back room.
Good morning, Amy Jacobson here. That voice belongs to the ever so famous, ever so good looking Sean from Elmwood Park.
Can you do that when I walk into a tavern down here? That would be fantastic.
Like, hey, ladies, do you know my friend? It's Sean.
Yeah, I can use an intro.
We're talking about the stimulus bill, the package that was going to be finalized today, signed by President Trump. Chuck Schumer is all excited.
For the 20 million people who would lose unemployment benefits the day after Christmas, help is on the way. To the millions of small business owners who are worried their businesses would go under, help is on the way.
No guarantee.
To families struggling with less money, direct payments mean help is on the way.
And he said that small businesses that are struggling, help is on the way. 30,000 small businesses have closed in the state of New York, and they're not reopening. But yet, when you watch Saturday Night Live, did you see it on Saturday? And Kristen Wiig was guest host, and she was up there with her friends, and they're all Kate McKinnon, and they're all hugging each other. And then you look at the audience, they're sitting shoulder to shoulder. That's deemed essential. But people can't keep their restaurants and their bars open in New York, and they can go and watch Saturday Night Live, and be part of the audience. I just thought the hypocrisy was
really. You've lived. I know. I think you're at least 40.
At least.
I mean, granted, you look 36.
Thank you.
But this is how all socialist corrupt societies work. If you have the favoritism of the government, you're excluded from the tyranny. Or at least it's easier on you. So this doesn't surprise me in the least. What does surprise me is just how stupid, and I mean stupid, you have to be a Democrat or vote for Joe Biden or vote for any of these scumbags. Because the reality is they know you are a cheap, cheap prostitute of character. So for $600, they're passing around billions to their friends. And you know what those rotten, no good, covetous scum Democrats are going to do about it? Absolutely nothing except ask for more. And that's how you know society is in the turlet, a la Archie Bunker. Turlet. So you better get to high ground, because the idea that you can click a mouse now, you know, we talk about printing money and our brains work the way it used to, where there's sheets of money and it gets passed out. No. It's electronic.
Next thing you know, a loaf of bread's going to be $30, but
There's no question about it. But they don't care. The Democrats don't care, because you know what they're going to do?
What?
They're going to ask for a $30 voucher, because they have the mind of a slave, and all they want is the handout from their master, and they just want the favoritism from their master. So the American character is gone. It's been gone for decades. This is just the end of the line.
Well, here's Republican Mitch McConnell on the stimulus package.
Now we need to promptly finalize text, avoid any last-minute obstacles, and cooperate to move this legislation through both chambers.
See, there's cooperation in both chambers.
What does Mitch McConnell know about the economy? He, for 40 years, with that old lady face sitting down when he goes to the bathroom, he knows nothing. Nothing. He's not a man. He's a corrupt scumbag. When you drive through his little district, McConnell this, McConnell that. He's a pay-to-play pork belly scumbag. Just like he was before Trump, just like he'll be until he takes the dirt nap. That's what they all are. He's Mitt Romney, only looking a little transgendery. That's all they all are. And this is back to normal, and that's why they stole the election, because they knew all they had to do was get past it. Now you go back to normal, back to business, back to payoffs. We're done. Fork in. Over. And you know what the beauty is? Look at the faces of the morons around you. Yeah, I mean Justin, too. He has no idea what's on the horizon. None. Because you can't. You cannot print up $2 trillion in 2 weeks on top of $16 trillion that the Trump administration didn't want to talk about. And then the answer after January 20th is going to be what? $30 trillion? You better get on your Venezuelan tank top and get ready to go into the streets because that's how bad it's going
to
get.
The only difference is eat our animals.
Sure, why not? You got Bunky.
I got Bunky.
You know, you put a little lemon pepper on that. You got to call Cass. Cass has some recipe for that dog. Make him taste like veal. It'll be perfect.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Let's go to Pete and Racine. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning. Two things. First, Amy, what you said about Saturday Night Live audience, and then you watch a football game where the stadium that holds 55,000 people is open. Nobody sitting in there at all. It's just absurd.
I know.
And second, Pelosi saying we should have crushed the virus, keeping everybody locked up with masks on would not have crushed it. The virus would still be there. You had to come up with antivirus that they're giving out now in order to stop the virus. Hiding from it in the house, the virus would have still been there full strength to this day.
A lot of assumptions there.
Thanks,
the assumption,
Pete,
too, is that the vaccine is a cure. I'm amazed at
we'll talk about that at 6:35 because there is a lot of problems over the weekend with the vaccine. But
they're called vaccine naps. You'll be all right. Just lay down. Don't worry about that Bell's palsy. Minor side effect. Go ahead. Take it. I dare you.
All right, let's go to Tony, who joins us from Roselle. Good morning, Tony. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
I was trying to come up with a clever analogy for the disbursement of the $300, and I was trying to think of it as a nationwide rainstorm where it's much needed in the Southwest, but the Great Lakes and the Mississippi Basin, they don't need any water at all. It's just throwing random money at mobs of people for political favor. I didn't appreciate the way both parties stalled this thing until after the election. This could have been done 3-4 months ago. And I heard from a friend, and this is going to be one of those anecdotal, I know a guy, but it's a pretty well-placed source, that October 27th, the two companies knew about the vaccine, and they just decided not to make it public until after the election. And that's a date that I got from, it's a pretty good source, man. I hope this comes out to be
brother,
true.
That's inside trading. It's been around since the very beginning. I'm not Thanks, shocked Tony. At that. I mean, that's not it.
Well, if I was a congressman, it'd be okay to do inside trading.
Exactly. Now you got to run for something. You make me your chief of staff. We clean up, kid. And by the way, at the end of it, it ain't going to be enough when the ramifications of their ignorance hit the entire world. We ain't seen nothing yet.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hallelujah! Holy shit!
On AM 560.
Where's the Tylenol?
The Answer.
All right, folks, the announcement came Friday at the 2:30 briefing that it will be no more daily briefings.
I'll start with some housekeeping that might bring some relief to our tireless press corps this holiday season. We're moving away from daily press conferences and instead returning to an as-needed basis. This is my 42nd consecutive weekday press conference this fall, and my 155th COVID-19 press conference since the beginning of this pandemic. I can promise that you'll still be hearing from Dr. Ezeke and me often as we provide regular updates on vaccine distribution.
So this is good news, right? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment.
You know, I have a thing I say and people cringe. You're a slave. You have the mind of a slave. This is just more evidence of it. You're a representative republic. You're making rules that we have to abide by. You're shutting us down from business. And now you've got the gall, the unmitigated gall, to say, I'll update you when I feel like it.
Yeah.
I mean, do you understand? That's why I can't live there anymore. To be an Illinoisan, you have to admit you're nothing but a slave looking for some clout or a handout. That's what Illinois means. It's disgusting. And you'll take it, by the way. You Illinoisans, you'll shut up and you'll take it.
So people are just waiting, you know, when's he going to have a next press conference? Are things going to change? Are things going to change? So I said, well, is this good news because numbers are heading in the right directions, less hospitalizations, more ICU beds are opening up?
Now that we're heading away from daily briefings, does that mean that we're heading in the right directions when it comes to cases, hospitalizations, and ICU capacity?
Well, let's be clear. We are, in terms of cases, in terms of hospitalizations, in terms of ICUs, those numbers do seem to be heading in the right direction.
Okay, yeah. Well, then set the people free. Set us free.
He's
Bring
on the Learjet.
Bring back our sports.
He jumped on the Learjet.
No, okay, well, I asked that. I said, all right, well, what are your winter break plans?
What are your Hanukkah plans?
Well, yeah, people want to know.
I'll be staying in Illinois. We have vaccine distribution. We are still undergoing this crisis of the potential surge. And my plans are unchanged from what I did at Thanksgiving.
So he's staying home. And I believe that he's going to be staying home. Do you believe he's going to be staying home?
I don't know. We could tell by the smile on his wife's face. If he's coming, she's got a frown. If he's not, it's upside down.
Hey, well, Dr. Nzika, where was that Thanksgiving surge? Because right before Thanksgiving, it was about 15,000 cases a day. Yesterday, we had 6,000. That's good news. Was there a Thanksgiving surge?
I'm really happy to say that we did not see the significant surge that we were very much concerned about in relation to all the reports that we saw of the large amount of travel here in the state of Illinois. And I think people know that in the Midwest generally, while others on the coasts are surging, I think we had that a little bit earlier and are on the way down. And I think all the mitigations that we had in place in advance of Thanksgiving have been helpful. So no, we did not see a surge following Thanksgiving. I'm waiting for this final week's tally, which will come on Monday. But so far, that is a good thing that we can report.
Not only
got buried by the mainstream media. That is a big deal that we did not have the Thanksgiving surge.
Well, first of all, not only is it completely arbitrary and you really don't know as they're cooking the books, but number two, what's it do? You stayed home and you listened to your good little doggy. Good little doggy. Get a treat. You stayed home and listened to mommy and daddy. That's exactly what this is, because you're a slave. I'll say it right to anybody's face. And do me a favor, Amy. Yeah. You get me in one of those press conference meetings. I want to hear him talk to me with that contempt in his voice. I'll ear slap that fat son of a gun till he's in the corner crying like he should be.
Mike in Antioch, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
You know, probably the reason he doesn't want to have press conferences is the taxpayers are getting pissed. They promise services for our taxes, but yet the public cannot get to their offices because they're all restricted on who can go and who can't go. They're not providing any services for the last 9 months.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and you know what I love about this bill, Mike? It proves your point. It's a payoff to systems that aren't being provided. To services that aren't being provided. The teachers cash out. The municipalities cash out. The airports cash out. The buses cash out. The trains cash out. And you'll pay it because you'll shut up because you got $600. Now go in the corner and shut up. Have a good time. Drink half a bottle of one of Mitt Romney's wine. Go ahead. You get half a bottle that he cracks open for breakfast on his Cheerios.
What did
the
you
Mormon.
Do with your first stimulus check?
Or didn't
is that,
get one.
Is that personal? You didn't get one?
Didn't get one.
Didn't
Why? Because
you didn't do your taxes?
No, I did my taxes. I think I hit the barrier. I'm not sure. I'm an earner, kid. I work 6 jobs. I don't even care what day it is, what the rules are. I'm down here right now. You know, my plane landed, all right, at 11:45. My first showing was at 12:45. I had about 55-minute drive. I got in the car and took off. I barely made it, and I went on for 7 showings. Now, most people would complain, and I'm not complaining, because you know what? At the end of the day, I caught the sunset. That's how I like to live my life. Every day, like tomorrow isn't going to happen, and I enjoy it, and I'm not going to listen to some fat pig with his trust fund and his cellulite. No, thank you. I'll roll my own dice. You tell me what the rules are, and I'll go around it.
Right? Didn't you have to shut down your cigar shop again?
I put a curtain in the window. I opened the back door for my guys. You come in. And on the front door, I put Biden voters keep out. And you come on in there.
Really?
Please? Absolutely. You stay out of my store.
Out? That's pretty provocative.
I tweeted, I could care less. I don't want your money. I don't want your face in my store, you rotten socialist pig.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. On AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Merry Christmas.
On AM 560.
Ho, ho, ho.
The Answer.
Ho, ho, ho for the holidays. Amy Jacobson here. Sean from Elmwood Park. Sean Thompson.
That's
in
right.
For Dan Prof this morning. How are you? Good looking.
I'm doing it good. I'm having a good time. The sun's coming up. It's beautiful.
Nice. Well, it's snowing here. It's 30-something degrees, I think. It's, you know, typical. winter day here in Chicago.
Do you have on your Lori Lightfoot fedora? You got one of my overcoats on, pretending to be the hottest girl in town?
Well, I got to tell you, she's been on a two-day apology tour because she knows she don't go messed up. Here she was on day one of the apology tour. You know, tears, empathy. Please just love me, people, please.
I have an obligation to make that wrong right. It's been...
Uh-oh, here we go. Uh-oh.
Susan Lucci.
Painful, and yeah, upsetting. But I think this gives us an opportunity to look at what happened from top to bottom, from before those officers went into her house.
And of course, we're talking about the botched raid, 2 years ago on Anjanette Young. Innocent woman, handcuffed, no clothes on. Lightfoot called what happened a colossal failure, and someone's head rolled. Late yesterday, Mayor Lightfoot went to the head of the city's law department. His name is Mark Flessner, and she made him resign, basically. She said that he was the one involved, and he released a statement. Are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. Today, I offered my letter of resignation to Mayor Lightfoot, blah, blah, blah. It's been an honor to serve, be a part of my friend Lori's team. And then he wrote, Monday was the first involvement that I had with the case surrounding Anjanette Young pertaining to the video footage that was obtained by police.
Yeah.
So he's lying. She's lying. Just resign and leave it at that. Because pastors, once you get the black community against you, you're not getting back.
Who knew what on the mayor's staff?
Tell it.
And what did the mayor know?
Yeah.
And when did she know it? And when they knew it, what did they do about it?
And here's Mayor Lightfoot. She sat down with Marianne Ahern, who did a wonderful interview. I mean, I watched all three networks.
Oh, and you and Marianne got something weird going on.
No,
just played a clip.
She nailed it. She got her.
It's likely you're going to get an earful today from the ministers who are meeting.
I assume so.
What will you tell them?
I'm going to tell them exactly the same thing that I've been saying. I'm going to walk them through what I know of the timeline. I think this is a bigger issue than simply the law department. The law department obviously made some pretty significant mistakes, particularly this week. But this is about a systemic problem of the relationship between our officers and the people in our neighborhoods, particularly people of color.
Now, there's two issues going on here.
Yeah.
First of all, I want people to really listen to this because I feel like we live in a communist country. Our mayor's legal team went to court to stop Channel 2 from airing the footage. Do you know how wrong that is? They also filed a motion for sanctions against Young's attorney for handing out the video to Channel 2. I mean, this is a dictatorship.
I think the best path forward is to withdraw the motion, and you'll see in the motion that we specifically urge the court to take no action against him.
I'd file a lawsuit against them for filing an injunction against me.
Well, look who the jerky boy is. I'll sue everybody, you and all your clients. I'm just shocked Channel 2 did a news story. That's the real news in here.
Well, 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment, because I really think that this is it for Mayor Lightfoot.
Oh, you're
delusional.
No.
She ran on transparency. She used to be head of the Chicago Police Board, and she did the same darn thing that Rahm Emanuel did with the Laquan McDonald tape, and that's trying to hide it from the public.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're optimistic. I just want to know, which Mayor Lightfoot do you prefer? I personally prefer the Bowery Boy, where she's having a cigar, drinking a scotch, as to the phony Susan Lucci crying in her little petite men's suit. I prefer the Bowery Boy. Which one do you prefer?
Well, I'm not going to go there, Sean, but I will tell you that Kim Fox, her supposed girlfriend, tweeted out the audacity that the city calculated its embarrassment over the release of the video is a clear violation of Miss Young's body and autonomy. Really? And Lori Lightfoot responded,
a state's attorney signs off on every single one of these search warrants. So I would make sure that my own house was in order before I started pointing fingers.
I'm just distracted by Kim Fox's head. It's unusually small. Do you notice it has like a soybean on top of her shoulders?
Oh, I never noticed that before.
It's very peculiar. Yeah.
You don't think that this is the end?
Are you kidding me? It's the sewer of Chicago. All they got to do is give out a little more cheese. They'll let this go. Who do you think this aggravates? The people that didn't like her in the first place. The people who are in line for the cheese, just fatten it up. They'll shut up and take it. Because the reality is the names are fungible. Doesn't matter. It's the same nonsense, the same lies, the same corruption. You'll take it. The only difference is, was she smart enough to build a foot soldier infrastructure of mafia members like Daley? Does she have, is she insulated enough to weather this storm? Because this poor son of a gun who thought he was going to his ghost job, he got release papers. So it depends who the clout is. If this guy's smart, he'll run against her and say, I'm the sacrificial lamb. But he doesn't want to. He just wanted the ghost job anyway. You got about, give or take, 30,000 people not going to work for the city of Chicago getting paid in these phony positions.
And so Marianne Ahern asked her, too, why did her law department fight so hard against the release of this raid? And she basically was saying, well, I'm just, you know, still new here, getting to know the positions. You got to hear I mean, it's unbelievable that that was her plausible deniability. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. Let's go to Greg, who joins us from Jefferson Park.
Hey, good morning, Annie. Hi, Sean. You know what? It kills me. These guys are a bunch of clowns, okay? Like you just said, 30,000 people at least going to work doing nothing. And the old, we don't want nobody sent, nobody knows nothing about nothing. You know what? I'll gladly teach the Chicago Police Department how to differentiate A from D or 5 from 9 for a couple $1 million. And I'll list out Daley and all the other clowns, Ed Burke, Radoliak, LeVar, Lorino, who are all going to get their slice of the pie as long as I can put a $250,000 in my pocket, because that's the way this city works, and it's always going to work that way.
Oh, yeah.
He should have a billboard that says Crime Family above it by all the names he just listed. And my favorite part that nobody's talking about, I kind of like the new FOP guy.
Oh, John Canzanera?
Yeah, I like the other guy, too. It would look like the Bears. He looked like one of those guys on the Saturday Night Live skit with the mustache. I didn't mind him either. But this particular guy is getting – they're going after him hard. Did you see that?
And we're trying to get him on for tomorrow.
Where's
Channel
2?
Because they're trying to fire him.
You tell him I want to talk to him. He'll come
and
on.
The reason why they want to fire him is because he posted pro-Trump. He had a pro-Trump sign while he was wearing his uniform and was a Chicago cop car there, and that's against department policy. So they're going after him and trying to fire him for that. But
I got a nephew that's a Chicago cop. If he partners up with my nephew, it'll take the whole city down. My nephew, just take the leash off that wild dog.
Yeah, and also we learned on Friday, too, that guess who got the computer contract for Chicago Public Schools?
Could I guess?
Yeah, please guess.
Can I guess? Yeah. Let me ask. Was it somebody that either is related to or donates to the administration?
You're on it. Mark Astrope, he's the CEO of a Chicago-based group, gave Lori Lightfoot $30,000 during her mayoral campaign.
It's a good investment.
And then in return, he got a $1.6 million no-bid deal with Chicago Public Schools for the Chromebooks. And guess
what?
ROI. No. Half of them didn't even work. Because we were the one that we got the Chromebook and it didn't work at first. We had to go back and get another Chromebook.
Return on investment. That's how you do it, boys and girls. You just sweeten. You drop off the Sacagawea. That's what it's called in my neighborhood. You give a Sacagawea to the scumbags. And sooner or later, you get a curb contract. Ta-da!
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. Here's her answer. Again, why did her law department fight so hard against the release of this raid?
There's still a lot for me to learn about the who, what, where, and when of what happened.
these son of a guns just stole the control of the entire country. And you think I'm kidding you? Because we think, you know, we know what Chicago is. It's like this wherever they rule. The corrupt Democrat mafia. This is their business model.
Yep.
That's how they stole the election. We thought she was above it.
I mean, I had one of my former girlfriends say, don't go for Paul Vallis. He's in the past. You want something fresh. You want something new. You want to vote for Lightfoot. No, and guess what they voted for? The same bull jive that was happening in the previous administration and the previous administration in front of that and in front of that. $30,000 campaign contribution for a $1.6 million computer contract, and the computers didn't even work. Only in Chicago.
Well,
Verlon on the south side. Oh, sorry.
Amy, I think you got it wrong on this one. I've been debating liberals ever since this story broke. They do not blame Lori Lightfoot. They blame Eddie Johnson. They blame Rahm Emanuel. Yeah, they blame Eddie Johnson, Rahm Emanuel. They blame everybody else except for Lori Lightfoot. So Sean's right. The noose will not be around her neck. Now, me personally, I don't blame the police because It's whoever gives them this bum information, just like in the Breonna Taylor incident and these other raids. When they get this bum information, they're just doing their job. I don't care if the lady's naked or what have you. They're not supposed to listen to that lady. They're supposed to clear that house by procedure. Now, their supervisors, yes, they should get fired. The state's attorney, whoever signed off on it, whatever judge signed off on it, they all should meet the firing squad.
State attorney signed off on it, yeah.
They should meet the firing squad, but not the police.
Yeah, there's 14 police officers involved in that raid, and this is what Lightfoot said on WVON about those said officers.
You are ambassadors of our values as a city. If you lose sight of those things, I need your resignation now.
I mean, they were just following the orders.
Oh, I love the angry Lightfoot.
And also, too, did I mention this, Sean? There's also six other body camera footage that was they forgot to hand it over for the FOIA.
Her naked anymore. Can we have any body cam footage of somebody under a size 22 naked, please?
Stop. All right. One of the cameras that was released, the new footage, had a guy with an AK, whatever, an assault rifle pointed at her.
Yeah, let's just call it an AK.
Okay. Well, AK-47, I don't know what it was, but it was just a long gun, okay? We'll
an AK-47, was he in the Taliban? We use AR-15s in this country. AK-47 is the wooden ones. They're yelling around, screaming, Ali, Ali, oxen free. All right? Let's just get that straight.
Go ahead. Lois on the south side. Good morning.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Sean.
What's up, Lois?
Hey, Sean. Hello, hold my beer. I'm going in.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. About Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah.
This is deja vu. We saw this with Kim Fox and Jesse Smollett. They did the same
Smollier thing.
This is the same plan, same play. This is how this play works. First you deny it, and then you suppress it. Remember, they suppressed the charges on Jesse Smollett. And then what happened? Ronnie Manuel and Eddie Johnson turned around and they tried to sue Jesse Smollett.
And then what happened? Out of the conversation.
That's not Sue. Okay. They shook him down for a contribution. Lewis, come on. You've been here a long time. That's a shakedown. Classic shakedown. Bag of cash on the side. No one knows anything. Charges go away. Come on. What are you, nuts?
Okay. Now, look at this. This is a point right here. This is where they connect it. Okay. Kim Fox, prosecutors, all of them resigned. Remember? All the prosecutors have resigned because she
I think they were
said,
sick of that bean head of hers. They stopped. They couldn't look at her yard dark
right,
face
stop,
anymore.
Stop.
Yeah. Right. And all her prosecutors had resigned. And this is the same thing that has just happened to Lori Lightfoot. Her corporate head counsel, he resigned.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're looking for some sympathy. Okay, now it's time to start crying and play the race card.
Exactly. And that's what she did. Because remember, she said, I went out with my black friends for dinner, and we talked about this, remember, on Friday when she said that. So, yeah, she's really reaching here. Quickly, Mike on the south side, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, guys. There are thousands of search warrants executed in the city every year. And
2,300.
They're going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And occasionally they're going to go wrong. And I will say they probably needed to do a little more due diligence and figure out exactly where the guy on ankle monitoring was.
In the apartment next door.
As opposed to the naked caravan? Yeah, sure. I got you.
Right. But aside from that, the cover-up by Lori is what's really bad. She knew about this over a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and now she wants to claim she just saw the video. That's ridiculous. Ron pulled the same song and dance with the McDonald case. We're not going to fall for it a second time.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. And so she's been apologizing 2 days in a row. She got the resignation from the top lawyer from the city's law department. And then today at 1 o'clock, she's having another press conference. Just stop. Stop apologizing. She's like begging people to love her. Like, maybe I'll have another press conference. Because normally they say what the premise of the press conference is, Sean. But today it just says 1 p.m. mayor's office.
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to talk about this again? Just let it go. You lied to us. You lied to us about Census Cowboy.
Well,
and I knew
mean?
Back
this
then
isn't a, this
that
isn't
was not going to be her first lie.
But this, this, is,
Amy, this is not a relationship. It's not like you lied about it. Let's move on. I almost like the fact she's bringing attention to it. Maybe. Some people who claim to be Chicago Democrats or under the delusion that they are will wake up. Because we look at this through the eyes of people who see the scam, who reject it, who are held hostage. That's not who's going to save anything in Chicago, because Chicago's 100 years of taking it. Who it's going to have to take are the people who've been supporting this mafia to wake up and realize it's not worth selling your soul for some pretend benefit.
Well, we got a text message from a former police officer. 6-day suspension for those officers for their part in the raid. Firing them will continue to destroy morale and discourage other officers from doing their job. They made a mistake, but the real issue came about when the law department refused to apologize and fix the woman's door. Do you know that this all would have gone away, by the way, if they would have just fixed her door?
You got to love it.
And now she's going to sue the police department and the city, and she still wants her face to, well, Mayor Lightfoot still wants her face-to-face meeting with her.
I hope she gets $100 million.
No. Oh, come
on. I hope she gets $200
million. How much, I mean, for 45
however much it takes for the people of Chicago. I don't care. Well, I mean, did you see the poor thing? Anyway, however much it costs, however much it costs to make it stop, that's how much I want it to be. And when I say that, I'm not insulting her because of her size. Can you imagine being that woman? Seriously.
I'd be mortified.
Come on. There's not enough money these morons could pay. And you want to know something? They don't pay it. You do. They don't pay it. That's why they throw it around. Until you realize how futile it is to let this go uncorrected, it's going to keep going. And all they need is another stimulus bill. Look, you got $600. Mitt Romney's lunch is going to be $2,400. Shut up for a year, dummy.
Thanks, Sean.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
I want Christmas. Just give me plain baby Jesus lying in a manger. Christmas.
On AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories. Only the biggest guests. And only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
The Pfizer vaccine is being distributed. Moderna vaccine distribution began Sunday, which means they'll start administering them today. But over the weekend, there was a pause at Advocate Aurora Health when two medical employees got sick from the vaccine.
The immediate concern was, is there something wrong with that batch of vaccines? But after discussion with our health departments and also understanding that that same lot of vaccine was used at multiple other sites, both within and outside of Advocate Aurora Health, and no other serious concerns reported, we felt that there are really no concerns about the integrity of the vaccine.
So they, after the two got sick, one, a prominent doctor at the hospital, he had to spend the night, Sean.
I can tell you that one of the team members who had a milder reaction was discharged home was a physician on our medical staff. And we reached out to that physician today who's feeling great and said he absolutely is 100% behind 100%. Continued vaccination of everything's our population.
Yeah.
With more
just
on
like
this.
Russia.
Yeah. With
just
more on
like
this,
Russia.
Let's welcome to the program Dr. Chad Savage, founder of Your
Morning,
Choice
Amy.
Direct Care and policy advisor for the Heartland Institute. So, Dr. Savage, what's going on with this? I mean, we had this incident happen in Aurora, and then you have the two healthcare workers in Alaska who had severe adverse reactions after taking Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. Are these safe?
Well, I mean, they would seem to be. So far, about 3 million doses as of Friday were shipped out across the United States. Now, all of them haven't been given so far, and we are seeing, I mean, so there is some concern about, we are seeing a handful of allergic reactions, some of which can be quite severe. So I think there probably need to be some measures to make sure that there are EpiPens available or other emergency procedures in place in case someone did have a reaction. But at least so far, it appears to be a small number of people, but enough so that at least some caution, and if someone has a history of allergic reactions, they may need to think twice before immediately jumping on as one of the first people to get the vaccine.
And you're talking allergic reactions to food and other medicines?
Yeah, I mean, they specifically say the components of the vaccine, but that would be hard for most people to appreciate whether they have that, because they don't know what's specifically into it. But if you're someone who has a known history of bad reactions to various substances, yeah, like you said, food, vaccines, other things, then that would be, you probably wouldn't want to be the first person in line.
Doctor, I have a question for you. I haven't been to the doctor since Ronald Reagan was solving crossword puzzles. And my doctor's original name, and I'm not kidding you, was Dr. Pepper. Next to that name, I like Dr. Savage. So if I ever do need a doctor, I'm calling you. And
well, I wish I was as rich as Dr. Pepper probably is now.
Are you making that up,
No,
Sean?
Dr. Annabelle Pepper out of Westlake Hospital. I went to him because he had very tiny hands, and I figure if I need something, I want small hands because I don't have a lot of confidence in your profession. No offense. And the reason is I'm old. I'm over 50, and I remember being a kid when they had this drug called thalidomide, and it was sweeping Europe, and it was the cure for everything from headaches to cancer treatments, depression, you name it. This was the snake oil of the decade, except when later on those women who took it gave birth, and the kids were massively deformed. Has there been any thought given to that in the Operation Warp Speed?
I mean, I can't speak to what the researchers have specifically looked at, but I mean, that's been a concern of, I think, of a lot of people, which is why people who they're not recommending it right off the bat in children, for example. And there are actually within the package inserts disclaimers saying that this is unknown for pregnancy.
Yeah, don't take off your pregnancy.
As long as they got the disclaimer, Doc, I think we're good. Pump it out there.
Well, yeah, so I think that they really should be targeting it as they intentionally are initially to high-risk individuals. You know, the CDC just over the weekend actually had a panel convene to say who are they going to recommend the first wave to, and they said first-line healthcare workers and those over 75. So the good news is if you're over 75, you probably don't have to worry too much about birth defects. But if you're 30, well, maybe that's a different concern. And I know Amy and I were talking last time I was on the show about the fact that if you're at really low risk to begin with, you have to have a exceedingly clean medication. And though I do not believe the science was compromised as they went through the process to get this emergency use authorization, the whole concept of emergency use authorization is that you're getting it out there quicker than you otherwise would have. So the big concern is the long-term effects are unclear. So therefore, you should give it to the people who are most likely to drive a benefit, but unlikely to, but maybe avoid giving it initially until you know more to the people who have a lower chance of driving a benefit.
Well, I like the fact, too, that the CDC changed who gets the vaccine because a lot of healthy grandmas and grandpas that are 75 plus, you know, they're doing the right thing. They're sheltering in place. They need to be set free. They need the vaccine so that they could come out and rejoin society and hug their children and their grandchildren.
Yeah. And I mean, we're seeing people who are literally dying from despair. We're seeing Alzheimer's worsen because that social isolation is worse for them. And if you think about it, if you're in a prison, the punishment for a prisoner is solitary confinement. Well, essentially, we're putting, you know, even prisoners can interact socially. They can, you know, in the yard and things of that sort, they can interact with other prisoners. And if you want to punish a prisoner, you put them in solitary confinement. Well, a lot of these elderly who are in these nursing homes have essentially been in solitary confinement since March.
I got a question for you, Doc. When this originally broke, you know, I kind of made fun of the idea that Americans would accept this kind of dictate from these frauds, you know, like Pritzker and Cuomo and the rest. But their first action was, let's take the sick people and put them with the old people. That'll work out great. And you killed hundreds of thousands, literally.
Thousands.
Now, well, sure.
Well, 9,000 in New York and about 4,000 here in Illinois.
Well, let's add up all the Democrat places. Then we'll go to the Republicans. I'm sure we'll get to six figures. That's number one. Number two, the cure comes out. Operation Warp Speed. And now the old people that survived, we tell them, you guys are going first without really knowing anything. So my question is, why does society hate old people?
Well, I don't know if I'd go quite that far. I think that those are the highest risk people, and this is an option for them. So I think the real crux of your position is voluntary versus involuntary.
Correct.
I think if people go in with the understanding, you know, of the limitations of our knowledge, but that so far this is looking very good and very promising, but there are unknowns about this yet. And again, last time I was on the show, I mentioned the fact that that around 10% of all medications that are brought to market within the first year get a new black box warning on them, and that could be true here too. We don't know what we don't know. But so far, with the exception of the anaphylactic reactions, which is not a trivial situation, you know, the risk of dying from COVID if you are over 80 is 5%, which sounds small, but one out of 20 people in extremely highly infectious disease dying is not inconsequential.
Well, what is it for the flu? Do you know?
I can't tell you the exact percentage, but it's quite a bit less than that. I know that it, you know, you could probably do the math. It's around 20-fold worse for COVID than it is for influenza in that age bracket. And the interesting thing is when you go to children, you invert that. So it's 15 to 20% less deadly to children than it is. This is why COVID is largely a disease of the elderly, at least when it comes to meaningful impact. That doesn't mean that no one is hurt below that. Obviously, there are. But the percentage chance of harm is dramatically higher as you get older.
But the reality is, no matter how you slice the numbers, we got a 98.5% survival rate. No matter how you slice the numbers. In 2019, we
averaged... It's actually better than that. It's actually about 99.8% overall. So it's very risk age stratified. So, I mean, it's very much... If you are young, you can get sick, and you can die from it. And again, it's so contagious is the issue. But your risk per case is actually quite low. If you're older, that's different.
All right, doctor, I have to ask you about this. My heart dropped yesterday when I turned on the news and saw that there's a second strand of COVID-19 in the UK, and now they're under new travel lockdowns. Boris Johnson canceled Christmas. They're describing it as a highly infectious new variation of the virus that's spreading rapidly, 70% more transmittable than COVID-19. So what do we know about this new variation? Because it sounds concerning, and is there evidence that it's resistant to the vaccine?
Yeah, so not a lot's known yet. I mean, this is just coming out, but obviously the Brits are quite worried about it. From what they're initially saying is they're saying it's much more contagious from an already highly contagious virus, but that it's no more deadly. So, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Obviously, France and surrounding countries are really, you know, reacting dramatically to this as well because they're worried about that getting in there. So there's too much unknown at this point to say anything definitive about that. One thing, though, talking about the lockdowns in Britain, it's interesting because kind of the topic du jour over the weekend was martial law. And there was a lot of talk about President Trump enacting martial law and things of this sort. But I started thinking about it, and one of the definitions of martial law was the suspension of constitutional liberties by the military. Well, we essentially have already a form of martial law declared, but instead by the health departments, where they've usurped constitutional liberties. So I don't know what your guys' thought on that, but I thought, you know, again, you go back to voluntary quarantine, voluntary measures. There's kind of a false narrative out there that prior to the 15 days to slow the spread, people were engaging in social distancing. I mean, in fact, there was quite a palpable fear spreading through society prior to the original lockdown, and people were taking measures. This false narrative is that we're either all locked in a house or people are out grinding in the streets, and that's just ridiculous. You can make rational, responsible decisions for yourself given information without having to mandate it, and the opposite is not full-blown debauchery.
Doc, I got a question because I see it going in the same place you do, and I can pick up on your innuendo. When the women kill their babies, they say, my body, my choice. I got $50 burning a hole in my pocket that I will become a Christian Scientist in about an hour and a half if I have to. Do you think ultimately we are going to be forced to take it regardless of our beliefs?
Well, I sure hope not, and I'll tell you why. Because if you voluntarily engage in something and have a side effect from it, the nidus of responsibility is the person who made that decision. If someone forces something on you and you suffer an adverse consequence, well, who bears the blame for that? We have to be. This is an individualist society, and we have to trust our populace to make good decisions. Our founders did. And I don't know at any point why that has gone away. So, you know, I understand the concept of the decisions you make could hurt other people. But we don't know enough yet to say with absolute clarity that there couldn't be long-term consequences from the vaccine. And understand, I'm not discouraging the vaccine. I'm encouraging the appropriate people, which I would say are the elderly, absolutely to get it and get it with minimal reservation. But again, I think if you're younger, that may be, you may need more pause. And one of my concerns is the first wave is including people in that age bracket. They're talking about frontline healthcare workers, and a lot of them are young.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there for today.
I got a question for the doc.
Make it very quick.
I haven't been to the doctor. I haven't been to the doctor since 1982.
Yeah, I had
a massage by two girls yesterday who said I look fantastic. Should I be worried, doc, or should I come and see you? What do I do?
You should only be worried if you're married and women are saying that to you.
Oh, all right. I'll see you on Monday. Thank you. All right.
Dr. Chad Savage, founder of Your Choice Direct Care and policy advisor for the Heartland Institute. He joined us on our Turnkey Pro Answer line. Thank you, Doc.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Your show keeps me alive during the week. There's nobody I'd rather listen to between 5 and 9 in the morning than you guys.
On AM 560, The Answer.
All right, so some of our listeners were concerned about the vaccine containing aborted fetal tissue. We had a lot of people call. And finally, I asked the question to Dr. Zike.
There are no aborted fetal cells or fetal tissue in the vaccine. There are no microchips, and there are no preservatives in this vaccine.
What about DNA? Some people think that their DNA is going to be altered if they take this.
There's no DNA that's in this. This is an mRNA virus. This is an mRNA vaccine. There is no virus in this vaccine.
So it's not a live virus. But finally, ask the questions for you guys.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Merry Christmas.
On AM 560.
Ho, ho, ho.
The Answer.
Oh, yeah. Days away from Christmas. It's Friday. Christmas Eve is on Thursday. And that would make Wednesday the eve of Christmas Eve. Thank you very much. Amy Jacobson here. Sean from Elmwood Park and for Dan Proft. Are you there, Sean? Or are you still in the shower, Sean? Sean decided that it would be a good idea to go take a shower in between last segment and this segment. I'm not kidding you. And we're paying him, Justin, for this? All right. Well, while he towels himself off, I wanted to bring you some audio. Over the weekend, we learned that Hunter Biden is probably the smartest person that Joe Biden knows.
We have great confidence in our son. I am not concerned about any accusations been made against him. It's used to get to me. I think it's kind of foul play, but look, it is what it is. And he's a grown man. He is the smartest man I know. I mean, in pure intellectual capacity. And as long as he's good, we're good.
As a father, I understand that, and I admire that. But I mean, in terms of your job as president, can you reach across the aisle to people who will be using this as an attack on you when it is such a personal attack because it's about family?
But if it benefits the country, yes, I really mean it.
And then went on to say, this was yesterday.
I am not concerned about any accusations been made against him. It's used to get to me. I think it's kind of foul play, but look, it is what it is.
And if you're wondering what it's going to be like under a President Joe Biden administration, his attorney general candidates are not going to be discussing anything at all about Hunter Biden.
He will not be discussing an investigation of his son with any attorney general candidates. He will not be discussing it with anyone he is considering for the role, and he will not be discussing it with a future attorney general. It will be up to the purview of a future attorney general in his administration to determine how to handle any investigation. As you know, U.S. attorneys are, that's a personnel decision. We're far from there at this point in the process, given we haven't announced yet an attorney general, a commerce secretary, a labor secretary, an education secretary. We have a few more to go, but we're going to allow the process to work how it should, which is for a Justice Department to be run independently by the attorney general at the top.
That's Jen Psaki. She is the White House press secretary for President-elect Joe Biden. With more on this, let's welcome back to the program Lieutenant Colonel James Carafano. He is vice president of the Catherine and Shelby Cullum Davis Institute for International Studies at the Heritage Foundation and author of Wiki at War, Conflict in a Socially Networked World. Good morning, Lieutenant Colonel. How are you?
Hey, good to be with you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too, early. So what do you think about the mainstream media continues to ignore the Hunter Biden story?
Well, I was kind of gobsmacked listening to the interview you played when the interviewer is basically apologizing for a legitimate investigation and then saying, oh, you know, this must be terrible for you personally. I don't remember any of those sensitivities with President Trump, where literally they attacked him and his family unrelentingly for 4 years. And now apparently we're all concerned about the president's sensitivity. The other thing I think, and it's just the observation I think everybody's made is, Biden to be saying my son did nothing wrong and also saying I have no idea about any of my son's business dealings. I mean, those two do not compute. One of those statements cannot be correct.
Right.
So I think we need a fair accounting. I don't know if he did anything wrong. I don't know if he did anything illegal. I don't know if there's any collusion there or not. But here's what we do know. We just had the case of the congressman where we have seen Chinese operatives intentionally try to ingratiate themselves with people of power and use that influence. So it's an extremely legitimate query. So, and I don't think that's up for dispute. Yet, you already see the narrative is, oh, well, this is a political attack on Biden, right? So they've already chosen the answer to the question before we've actually done the investigation.
Yeah, and speaking of Swalwell, don't you think he should be forced to resign from the House Judiciary Committee?
Well, look,
the CIA, just tell people what their role is.
Well, yeah, there's a couple of really important points there. One is this is not just another committee. This committee has access to the most sensitive intelligence in the U.S. government. So there's a level of responsibility and integrity in this committee that far exceeds virtually what any other member of Congress has. So that's a really, really high bar. They essentially provide oversight of not just the Central Intelligence Agency, but broadly of the intelligence community. And when we get that wrong, you know, for example, during the Iraq War, we got the weapons of mass destruction. It's a big, big deal. So it's huge. And the second point I think is look, I know McCarthy. He is not a guy to just take partisan cheap shots just for the sake of taking partisan cheap shots. Mm-hmm. If he had a classified intelligence brief and he said this deeply concerns me, well, then I am deeply concerned. And I think the other point is the more, forget the classified intelligence brief, the more public information that's readily available, the congressman's explanation does not add up, and I think that raises very legitimate questions.
Now, also, speaking of the House Judiciary Committee, we learned on Friday that Cori Bush, the representative-elect out of Missouri, the first Black Lives Matter activist to serve in Congress, she's landed a high-profile job on the House Judiciary Committee. And she's a nurse, a single mom, and an ordained minister. Do you think she qualifies to be on that committee?
Well, look, the fact is the Congress sets its own rules on who qualifies for committees or not. And, you know, I've been doing this a really, really long time. We could have endless discussions about whether people are qualified to be on committees or in committee leadership or not. But these are political decisions as much as they're competency decisions. But again, you know, going back to your thing about the Intel Committee is really, really different. I mean, that is a committee where you should put politics aside. And look, let's be honest. The way that committee used its power to go after President Trump was incredibly partisan and inappropriate. So I think this House leadership has a lot to answer for. And to me, what's also not a very, very good signal is the Biden team has had nothing to say on this. They don't have any concerns. Apparently, they're not worried about this at all. I mean, and China is the foremost counterintelligence threat, the foremost economic threat, the foremost security threat to this country, and apparently that's not a big issue for them.
I've got a question for you. It's actually, to me, I think it's been completely corrupted. For instance, I don't think people understand the majority of these committees, these positions are bought. In fact, the politician has to buy it from the DNC or whatever party's in control. And they get to kind of let in who they want
based on two factors, connections and money. So it's the old Chicago way. I'm majorly concerned about our foreign policy slipping back into all of the problems that we had 25 years ago. And I am obviously aware of how thirsty the military-industrial complex was to get back into the position of power. One of the things I thought Trump really was fantastic on was foreign policy. How long do you think it is before we're building up troops in areas none of us know or care about, and the military-industrial complex is printing trillions of dollars again?
Well, look, here's the problem with the Biden team is we just don't know. And we talked a lot about this before the election. Most Americans, honestly, they vote on domestic issues. There's a guy like my health care, what I want to do in health care or my taxes. But the reality is we are voting for commander-in-chief, whether you like it or not, you are. And the problem is, from my perspective, is Americans voted for Biden and have virtually no idea what a Biden foreign policy or national security presidency might look like. I don't know if I have any idea.
Oh, I think we know you do. He's been wrong for 50 years.
Well, it's filled with Obama people. I mean, so at one point you think it's Obama, 2.0. And you're right. I mean, if you look at Biden's very long track record in the Senate, he made a success, and as vice president, he made a successive series of very bad conclusions and recommendations on foreign policy. So, yeah, we go into this with a element of skepticism, and I agree with you. I think the foreign policy of the last 4 years was incredibly successful. The president, he didn't try to be the world's babysitter. He didn't try to be the world's policeman. But on the other hand, he never ran away from the responsibility to protect the interests and of American citizens, whether it was a captured person who's held hostage in the country, or whether it was somebody threatening American military personnel overseas, or whether it was somebody threatening an ally. This president stood strong. And I got to tell you, I mean, and this is not a Republican-Democrat thing. I'm not even a Republican. I think the foreign policy of the last 4 years was so instrumentally better than the 8 years before that. It's not even in the right ballpark. I actually think one of the strongest foreign policies that we've had in modern history.
And the reality is, a lot of that is due to domestic policies, particularly on oil, natural gas, and the energy that has really kind of flipped it where we put even Saudi Arabia in the back seat. As they are spending hundreds of millions, if not billions, in lobbying again, my question to you is, once, if Biden successfully usurps, and in my opinion becomes illegally the president of the United States, can we eventually pull it back, or is my only hope to stage a coup from South Florida in my shorts and tank top?
Well, I got to tell you this. Look, I actually think that this is time for Republicans in the Congress to stand up. I think that even in a minority status, and we'll see what happens in the Senate, if Republicans pull together and commit to strong policies, they can't block everything that Biden can do, but they can be a very, very powerful force. And I think we're only 2 years away from midterms and elections have consequences. So I definitely don't think we should give up the ghost. And you will never get sound foreign and defense policies if we don't demand it from our leaders, or we don't pick a leader and support one that wants to do sensible things.
All right, Lieutenant Colonel, ABC News was reporting that there was a meeting in the Oval Office on Friday. President Trump wants to fight the results of the election, of course, and there was a possibility of appointing a special counsel to look into the election. He wanted Sidney Powell, but advisors told him, well, they talked him out of it. But also in the room was General Michael Flynn, and he, who was recently pardoned, obviously. And Flynn has been suggesting publicly that President Trump overturn the election by declaring martial law and bringing in the military to set up new elections in battleground states that the president lost. Is that really a possibility?
Well, first of all, I don't believe anything ABC reports.
Okay.
We hear a lot of tweets, and this is a president who likes to get advice. He likes to get a lot of diverse advice, but he has a 4-year track record of doing what's in the best interest of the American people. And he also has a 4-year track record of respecting and following the laws, written. And I think he will do that until the day he leaves office, whatever that day is.
All right. Sean, do you have any?
I do. Right. I could talk to you for an hour, first of all, so forgive me if I...
You two can go out to lunch later.
The reality is I believe we've been in a cold civil war for 20 years. I really do. And I don't think it was the fault of any one party. I think it was the fault of a corrupt government. When we feel like we can't rely on law to be the shield against the usurpation of corrupt government, what is our responsibility as Americans? Because to me, I'm not kidding you. I'm hoping for states to secede, and I'm hoping that they fight back against what I think is a corrupt neo-Marxist Democrat mafia. 74 million people got robbed or are getting robbed. There has to be ramifications. Don't you think so?
Well, look, I think we have one of the most resilient constitutional systems in the world, and I would never let go of that system because I don't think there's a better one out there. And we have a system that bends, but I don't think it breaks. And I think that relying on that system is the best hope for future peace and prosperity. So I guess I'm maybe a little more optimistic. Yeah. I think in the end, the rule of law will triumph in this country because this country has its bred into its DNA and won't accept anything else.
All right, Lieutenant Colonel James Garofano, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Vice President of the Catherine and Shelby Cullum Davis Institute for International Studies at the Heritage Foundation, and he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
You're listening to Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer. When you've got questions, he always has an answer. It's Sean Hannity, this afternoon at 2 on AM 560, The Answer.
Another day, another bill, a $1 trillion COVID-19 relief bill. They haggled back and forth.
Little walking around money.
Yeah, haggled back and forth all weekend. And then the announcement was made that they made an agreement. They're going to vote on it today. And then President Trump's going to sign it. Here is Mitch McConnell.
Now we need to promptly finalize text, avoid any last-minute obstacles, and cooperate to move this legislation through both chambers.
And both Democrats and Republicans agreed. A lot of people are out of work. Why are they out of work, Sean?
Because morons are in charge, like old lady face Mitch McConnell with his naughty bits and his socks. I'm getting sick of these people.
It is a strong shot in the arm to help American families weather the storm. For the 20 million people who would lose unemployment benefits the day after Christmas, help is on the way.
the
millions of small business owners who were worried their businesses would go under, help is on the way. To families struggling with less money.
He's talking.
Direct help. Payments mean help is on the way.
Hey, did you know that help's on the way? Please. All right, this is what it is. $284 billion for small business loan program, the PPP. $25 billion in rental assistance. And here's a good one. Ready? $600 direct payments per adult and child.
Ooh, Mitt Romney's lunch.
$300 enhanced unemployment benefits, so that's on top of what you would normally get. $13 billion in enhanced SNAP benefits.
SNAP.
Hello, SNAP. And then this one, $82 billion for colleges and schools. Where is that money going to go to? Sean?
I'm going to tell you right now. I want to know what Scott Shalady thinks how long it's going to take before we all look like we're living on an Indian reservation.
Well, does Scott join us? Is Scott there?
No.
He's not here yet, but he's coming.
He's busy.
He's a Fox.
Talk about a guy eating a sandwich instead of talking on the radio, and you're blaming me for having a cigar.
I thought you were taking a shower.
You know what else is funny about this bill? Because I'm reading into it. Yes. You know, there's one thing that's very well known. The motor coach industry is booming and has been booming since COVID hit and they put us on the lockdown. They've never seen sales like this.
Right, and boat sales and car sales. Used cars. My niece could not find one. They had to go several counties over.
Squirrel, back on the track. The motor coach this bill, the motor coach industry gets $1.9 billion. For what? They have record sales. Just sprinkle it around. Give it to your donors. This is a corporatist bribery payoff scheme. And yet, here's the idiots on YouTube that watch our show that pretend to be taxpayers. I got my $600, so yippee, because you're a slave and a moron and a Chicago Democrat scumbag.
Well, speaking of moronic, Nancy Pelosi.
What took so long is because we could not get our Republican colleagues to crush the virus.
Yeah. What in God's name does that
mean? How much did your husband make?
We couldn't get our Republican colleagues to crush the virus? She's the one who's responsible. A bill was going to be passed the first week of November, but she didn't do it because she did not want to make President Trump look good before the election.
Maybe if Chuck Gowdy and his wide hips could do some investigative reporting, they'd figure out how much Mr. Pelosi made during the COVID breakdown. How many of her businesses and his businesses got payoff schemes in the form of forgivable loans. They are loving this. This is when they become gods among men. They're not representatives. They're rulers. And you better wake up because we're the slaves.
With more on that, let's join, or we're pleased to be rejoined, I should say, by Scott Shalady or Shalady. However you want to call it. Scott the Cow Guy, Fox Business News contributor. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning.
Shalady, Shalady. It's Shalady, right?
It's Shalady, but we call him Shalady because he dresses like a lady.
All right. Shalady rhymes with Melanie.
There you go. Okay. So what do you think about this new $1 trillion COVID-19 relief bill?
Well, the only other bigger joke is that they shut the economy down in the first place. That's what I have to say. I'm not a bailout person. I'm not a conspiracy theorist person either, but at the same time, you know, you look at my Twitter feed last night, and I feel for these small businesses. I feel for the people that I know that are in these restaurant industries. They've gotten absolutely slaughtered. They've been at the front line for no reason except for the fact that everybody's been able to blame everything on them. And the government spent, you know, you were a little kid, you go into a China shop with your mom and there was a little sign, you break it, you own it. Right. The government broke the economy. Now they own the economy. It's their responsibility. And for them to take 4 months to come up with $600, I agree with a lot of people, the people on my Twitter feed, the poor people that have been having to endure this and can't work or go back for 3 weeks and then get shut down again. It's an absolute farce. It really is. And so I think part of the market reaction this morning is anger, not really even risk off. It's like, are you kidding me? This is the best you guys can do? It's like, I have no confidence in our legislatures to do anything anymore.
Scott, what's the difference between the United States government and the Sicilians?
The Sicilians are probably more open about it. I don't know.
The government's mafia is legal, and that's all this is to me. This is an insult to every honest business person, every victim of this incompetence.
I was kind of right, yeah.
Well, but small shops in Illinois, 11,200 are closed right now. 11,000. That's a lot.
And okay, so here's what you need to do, Amy and Sean. Slow your roll. And just remember what's happening here. You've got a government in a democracy that's trying to tell you what types of clothing you can wear.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. And then they're trying to tell you what types of clothing you can wear, i.e. the face mask, and taking away your right to work. I mean, there is nothing left to a person. They're telling you what you can wear and what you can look like, and now they're telling you you can't work. I mean, it's to me, I can't believe this is my country. I really can't. And you know what? I used to say all the time, because I've got a British passport, a European Union passport. Boy, oh boy, I can't imagine. I mean, we left there 200 years ago because that place, you know, it stunk. You know what? They're starting to look better than us. I mean, they don't lose. It's unbelievable to me. So look, $600. Thank you very much. These poor guys are getting killed. And the only other thing I can't understand, Sean or Amy, is the fact that these restaurants and small businesses haven't said, you know what, screw it. If I'm going out of business, I'm going out of business fighting. And they're just, let's just open up.
Because these are dear friends of mine and yours, and you know them. And you know that I've worked with these guys, grew up with these guys. I got friends of mine, you know, they have a hard time spelling exit. They got 17 restaurants. They're doing great. This is what they love. And when you love it, you'll go down with it. So the reality is there's almost a comfort in victimhood, and that's our problem, is that we're awful comfortable with this kind of tyranny. You and I both agree this should have never, ever happened. And once it did, that's the year. 2020 will go down in history as the year America gave away what America stands for. That's exactly how I feel.
And it's not only 2020, it's going to be 2021 and possibly 2022.
Yeah, but history just judges the nail in the coffin.
And Scott, you said something from the outset a long time ago that has stuck with me, that you didn't know anybody who died from COVID, but you knew two people who committed suicide because of COVID.
And that number's gone up, too. So, I mean, everybody, there's the anecdotal 6 degrees of separation when somebody says, oh, yeah, my grandfather's breath, you know. And then when you finally say, well, how old was that person that died of COVID? They usually say something over the age of 65. Almost always, right? I was out here in Arizona for Thanksgiving, and they were running a television commercial There's an empty chair at the Abreu's house this year. The leader of the family died of COVID, and they're showing all the sad. And it's horrible. I get it. I feel bad, right? But at the end of this commercial, they're trying to make you wear a mask. They also let slip that he was 92 years old.
Oh, come on. 92?
No. Yeah. That's what they're putting into people's brains. I am getting sick and tired of even trying to defend my position on social media because everybody, it seems, has bought this whole stuff hook, line, and sinker. This is a new virus, apparently. A new virus that God created that is not acting like any other virus that we've ever seen before, which is total baloney. I mean, this is... And so now we've thrown away... No, look, Sean, you probably know this. And Amy, this is interesting, I think. We've thrown away all of our rights for something that's not even as bad as the Spanish flu. The Spanish flu killed it's killed 675,000 Americans, and we had a population of 103 million.
Come on,
do the
Scott.
Math.
You know
that's
this.
Like, that's
look at
like
these
2
kids.
Million Americans today.
Look
that's
at
like
these,
2 million.
Look
know,
at these people running things. They're effeminized, they're clueless, they're desperate, and they're insatiable. This is the perfect storm for them, and this is the year that I think America stopped being America. But I want to ask you another thing. Wall Street is vacating New York, and I'm loving it. Goldman Sachs down to South Florida. I'm trying to reach somebody so maybe I could broker a deal here and there. Jamie Dimon down to Florida. The other guys are deciding Texas, California. They're running like like their predictions were actually right, and it's falling into the ocean. The reality is Terry Duffy used to love me when I clerked for Cadillac Jack Schulte. You think you could put me in contact, Scott? I'm looking for a commission. I got tuition payments, and I won't go on welfare. Could you make a call for a guy?
You know what? It really highlights the fact is that the people that run these states, i.e. California, New York, and Chicago, or Illinois, are so out of it and clueless that they don't understand that all of this business now is done in the cloud, and the cloud can be moved to Florida and Texas and Arizona in 2 seconds. They don't need to have Wall Street or LaSalle Street. They don't have that's gone. This business is being conducted in the cloud, and so these people think that they can tax that type of business in their locales. They're just going to go, and they should go, by the way. And so here's my question to anybody out there that can give me the answer. If you're running, if you're Cuomo, or if you're Newsom, or if you're Pritzker, and you back away from the trough for 2 seconds, and you look yourself in the mirror, and they don't have mirrors, I'm sure, I've got a few of those too, Coney Island, but you know these things are happening right in front of your face, and you're not doing anything about it, or actually you're pressing the gas, the pedal to the metal even more. I don't understand.
Well, but they think that they're doing. They think that they're doing well. I mean, Pritzker said, I think it was last week in a press conference, my approval ratings are up. People like what I'm doing. I'm not going to be recalled as a governor. I'm like, are you kidding me? Is he that blind?
Yes, he is. Yeah,
he's drunk with power. I mean, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's going to be 4 people left in Illinois. If 3 people like him, he's in.
Well, when your family, half of your family's in Florida, that's when. You know, laws do not apply to those who make them. People are not being governed. We're being ruled.
All right, well, and that's the problem. Americans will give everything the college try. And even though they may seem draconian and tyrannical, but then when they see the people that are the ones that are imposing these things on them, not live up to their own rules and standards, that's when the wheels fall off. And that's what's happening. So I hope that there's more of a pushback, but it just doesn't seem like it's happening fast enough for me.
All right, Scott Schlady, you can follow him on Twitter, at Scott the Cow Guy, Fox Business contributor, good friend of the show, Scott. Have a very Merry Christmas and tell your wife.
All right, you too, guys.
All right, bye, dear.
All right, see you guys. See you, Sean. See you.
The best.
And he joined us.
And by the way,
yeah,
there's a mute button on Twitter, Scott. Don't aggravate yourself arguing with idiots. Sooner or later, you forget who's who.
Scott joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
If you're talking about it, Dan and Amy are talking about it. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Go to the phone lines real quick. Dan joins us from the north side. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good, good. Yes, you and Sean are correct. When there's a new $90,000 chaparral parked on the dock for a family of 5 that have never owned a boat before, there's 2 economies at work. The people that are working from home are banking money, saving money because they're not out spending it. And what's unfortunate, you never see the large restaurant groups protesting opening the restaurants because they're sitting on all the capital to open up new restaurants, pennies on the dollar.
Oh,
and people with the capital are sitting back and waiting until this thing pops. And when it pops, it's going to pop big, and people are going to get rich. And all the wrong people that are suffering The money's going to flow to all the people with the money. So,
well, to a certain point.
Thanks, Dan, for the phone call. Yes, Sean? Yeah.
I think the other point to remember is these people who are in business are extorted by the government. You know, very few people understand how they're extorted with their liquor, that they have to pay 30 and sometimes 40% more for liquor than you and I do because they are prevented from buying it wholesale.
Oh my
so
God,
it's a mafia.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think a liquor license is? They can't go buy liquor at the cheapest price. They got to buy it from the mafia.
Oh, all right.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Merry Christmas.
On AM 560.
Ho, ho, ho.
The Answer.
Helps if I turn my microphone on. Good morning. Amy Jacobson here. Sean from Elmwood
Park. My mic's on.
Your mic's on. You're talking loud. You're from Elmwood Park.
I don't talk like that.
No, you don't talk like that.
Come on.
Good news is the Thanksgiving surge that we were so scared about, that we hunkered down for, it didn't happen.
I'm really happy to say that we did not see the significant surge that we were very much concerned about in relation to all the reports that we saw of the large amount of travel here in the state of Illinois. And I think people know that in the Midwest generally, while others on the coasts are surging, I think we had that a little bit earlier and are on the way down. And I think all the mitigations that we had in place in advance of Thanksgiving have been helpful. So no, we did not see a surge following Thanksgiving. I'm waiting for this final week's tally, which will come on Monday. But so far, that is a good thing that we can report.
Yeah, but one casualty of the threat of a Thanksgiving surge was high school sports. High school sports were supposed to begin with boys swimming, girls gymnastics, cheering, dance, and girls and boys bowling.
I wish you would have let her do it in Spanish. That's my favorite part of those press conferences. Why'd you interrupt her?
Oh, I guess, yeah. But then with more on that, let's welcome to the program Eric Brown. He's father of five, and he's trying to get his kids back into school and mostly back into sports. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so the IHSA came out, and they plan on playing every sport in 2021. I don't know how they're going to do it because you only have so many gyms, and now you're going to have badminton, basketball, girls and boys, and girls and boys volleyball. There's not enough gym space to make this happen. Do you think they made a mistake by not allowing us to play fall sports?
Oh, for sure. You know, if you look at so many of the states around us, I think, you know, you've shown that map before that Joe Trost had. And, you know, we are literally the only state in the Midwest that didn't play fall football. You had Michigan, Indiana, Iowa, Wisconsin, Missouri, Ohio. Everyone around us played, and we were the only ones not to. And you would think, you know, at some point, that they would wake up and realize, you know, that living in fear and operating the way they have, you know, is just not what is not what's best for the kids, and it's going to have a major impact on this state. You know, my family, we've all had COVID. We've been so we've got all the antibodies. We've been traveling around. We've been in just in the last 6 weeks or so, we've been to Texas, Arizona, Wisconsin, Tennessee, and Florida. And Amy, all these states, every single one of them, kids are in school 5 days a week. They're playing every single sport. There's been some that have paused and gone to a hybrid model, but you would accept that. And they made kids a priority. And it's just really, really sad when you look at the state of Illinois and how that's not been a priority. And I can just, I've got a story of, you know, you mentioned that I've got five kids and they're all home e-learning. And e-learning is the worst.
It's a joke.
And teachers are trying, you know, but they're it's not been a great way to educate your kids. And we had my oldest son is a senior, and one of his teammates tried to drop out in November. He just said, you know what, he lost motivation, slightly depressed, just, you know, kind of threw his hands up in the air and said, I'm going to drop out of high school. Which is a really sad statement. Going into your senior year when you're supposed to be playing your you know, senior season of football. And so we actually brought him into our house and just said, hey, that we're not, you know, we can't let you do that right now. And he came in, He was failing all seven of his classes when he came in, and right now he's passing six of his seven classes, close to passing all seven.
Good.
And so, but my point in saying that is, you know, there's so many kids like him that are just that are struggling, and we've been saying this, you know, at the rallies that we had early in the fall about the mental impact that this is going to have on the kids, and that all played out. You know, it's really really sad to see the amount of kids that have suffered and are struggling. If you talk to any psychologist, children psychologist, they're full. You can't get in because, you know, the kids are depressed. They're sitting there looking at a screen all day long. So if you're asking a 12-year-old, you know, to 14-year-old in junior high to you know, really figure out how to sort through their day and lock in for 25 minutes at a time and then go to the next class and be organized, I mean, that's just not reality. So I heard someone, you know, a lot of schools out here in the suburbs are going to a pass-fail model. And the only reason you're doing that is because of how many, you know, kids are struggling. Someone told me that that CPS, there's schools in the CPS that have less than 10% kids logging in every day.
Oh, yeah.
And even suburbs, you know, suburbs close to the city, like Oak Park, I heard from a teacher that said they're averaging around 20%. Of kids logging in for a day. So it's just a massive failure by the state of Illinois, and it's J.B. Pritzker, it's Jesse Ruiz. They have not made it a priority made the kids a priority, and there's going to be real ramifications of this long term. So, and not playing sports, I mean, that's the one outlet. You know, that's what a lot of these kids, that's what they live for. And a thing that I've said from the beginning, Amy, is you have these coaches, you're already paying them. I mean, why not use them? They're your best resources to get the kids, you know, get them motivated, get them back, get them safe, go in a bubble, you know, and they're not, you know, they've just failed on that front too. So the thing I hold out hope for while saying all that, and it's been so sad at this point, is it's not too late. Yes, it's a lot, you know, to get everyone back playing. And to get all these sports, like the IHSA has said, that they want them all to play this in 2021, it can happen. There's athletic directors that are ready to roll up their sleeves and figure it out for the sake of the kids. But the time for IHSA and the governor's office to get together is now.
Show up for the meeting on Monday, the Zoom meeting?
You know, I don't know. Was that last week?
Yeah, with Jesse Ruiz and Pritzker did not. I know they were invited, and they did not show up.
Yeah, I know that, you know, and that's been, I know there was frustration from the governor's office that the IHSA invited them via, you know, social media and not from direct. And I'm like, you know, to me, that's so stupid. This is not about a person. This is about the kids. And when you think you're in public service and it becomes about you, that's a problem. This is all about kids. Go ahead. Fire away.
I got a question. Radio, so let's do a little devil's advocate, shall we? Isn't this really you and your neighbors and all of our faults for allowing this to become an entitlement run and monopolized by the government? So now they tell you what to do. So what? You wanted to take it when they were given it. Now you don't want to take it and abide by their rules. Didn't we kind of play ourselves into this pair of two's hand in society by allowing government to monopolize at the education system?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's the scary part is, you know, when you go, you know, the one thing I wish everyone in the state of Illinois that was a decision maker would do, I really wish they would go to one of these other states, physically go.
And just see how other people are living.
Mm-hmm. See how, no, and specifically the schools. I would encourage every decision maker, every superintendent, go to one of these states and watch what they're doing. Talk to another superintendent. Say, hey, what are you learning? What's working? What's not? But we made kids a priority, and we figured it out. I mean, I have brothers, you know, who have kids in private school out here in the suburbs. They're going 5 days a week, every day,
Eric,
since August, and they figured it out.
You're doing that thing Amy does, where you think strangers have good intentions. They do go to those other states. They all own vacation homes in other states. In fact, half of them are probably there right now. And you know what they're really saying?
Yeah.
Thank God I don't have to go to work. They love it, brother. Right. I mean, we got to stop pretending these people give a rip about your kids. They don't, which is why 50% of CPS send their kids to private school, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the reality of things.
That's true. But what are we going to do? We can't bust down the doors of the school.
We hired that weather underground guy from the Democrat Party. We hired that son of a gun. Because what he understood is when he does and commits atrocities and violence, he gets a position in the government system and becomes a millionaire. So let's hire Bill Ayers, shall we?
Yeah.
It's hard to follow.
Well, Eric, you and I both know a lot of kids that have moved out of the state so that they could play because they want to get scholarships. And I'm sorry, nobody's looking at Illinois football players to play football at a D1, D2, or D3 schools because I don't, in my heart of hearts, I really don't think we're going to have a season this year. Maybe you guys will in the suburbs, but I got to deal with Dr. Awardi. That's another bureaucratic level of hell that we have to deal with. And she had said, too, because she's not a sports person, and she and Lori Lightfoot one time described sweat as, ew, people are sweating, ew. She has said that she will not let kids play sports unless kids are back in school first. And that's wrong. That is the wrong way to look at it because there is zero cases of player-to-coach transmission. Yes, some programs have had to shut down because a player or two was asymptomatic, and we dealt with that with cross-country. Right. That lasted 2 days till they realized, oh, they're outside. They weren't even by each other. But there's no case, and there's no hospitalizations. So that's 34 states.
It's really sad, you know, when you think about just the lack of just basic – resolve of just, hey, let's come up with a solution. So I was just talking to a buddy of mine who's a doctor out here in the suburbs and in a few different hospitals. And he was saying to me, he said, you know, if you have to understand, if you wear a mask, the chance of transmission is literally so minute. He goes, it's a really simple, and this is a guy who's in it every day and has been in it every day since March. And he's like, it's really simple. Tell people to wear a mask and open everything up. It's not that hard, but when you live in fear and you just constantly live in fear, and we're seeing it, you know, from so many different people, this fear. Obviously, we learned in 2020, fear sells because people bought into it, you know, and
Merry Christmas,
and it's really
happy new fear.
Merry Christmas, and what did you say?
Merry Crisis, Happy New Fear. That's what this is all about. As you listen to Dr. the pediatrician in Oak Park, what she was really saying is we were wrong, and what's the repercussions? Yep. Absolutely nothing. And the other side of the coin is, say you do what I do and you blow $250,000 sending your kids to private school and your wife works two jobs and you work three jobs and you urinate the money away. What happens is that kid is now turned into Papillon, right? Because my kid goes to school and she's Papillon, the mask on. She can't move 6 feet away, can't talk to her students. So there is no right answer. When bureaucrats run institutions, we think are our entitlement. The whole damn thing needs to be ripped down, Eric. And all we're going to do is just complain about it because at the end of the day, these people are laughing at you from next door to me in South Florida. They're laughing at you. And their money rolls in. And I got to go out and do 16 showings when the show's over.
Right. Yep. No,
show
I get
me something,
it.
And
I'm sorry. You know, Amy sent me a thing. Stop growling. I'm angry, brother. I am livid. I'm
it's child abuse. It is child
I'm
abuse.
At us. We and let this happen.
Because I teach it, or I'm a CPS coach, and I'll never forget the day that everything shut down and I went to say goodbye to the principal. And another teacher was in there. He's like, oh, no, we'll see you in 2 weeks. I said, 2 weeks? I'm not going to see you at all this year. And I probably won't see you next year. And I wonder if I'm ever going to see that teacher again. Because who knows who's going to decide to come back. And so many people are leaving that we're not even going to need all these CTU teachers. Because of their decisions to not cooperate with CPS and they don't want to go back to school. Kids have transferred out. Kids have moved out of state. Yep. So we'll see how many teachers are needed after this. So, all right, Eric Brown, we're going to have to leave it there for today. Father of five.
Yep. Come on.
Wheaton Warrenville South. I'm praying for you that you guys can play football this year.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your support.
All right. Thanks, Eric. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is the morning show. More Chicago radio listeners are choosing. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, we got to get to it. Tom Cruise apparently had a second meltdown after he heard that audio from his first meltdown was released. Yeah. It was secretly recorded and released. You remember this.
We are the gold standard. You're back there in Hollywood making movies right now because of us. Because they believe in us and what we're doing.
There we go.
I'm on the phone with every studio at night. Insurance companies. Producers.
in the Church of Scientology.
And they're looking at us and using us to make their movies. We are creating thousands of jobs, you I don't ever want to see it again. Ever. And if you don't do it, you're fired. And I see you do it again, you're gone.
What's going to happen?
And anyone on this crew does it. That's it. And you too. And you too. And you.
You. Too.
If you ever do it again.
He's yelling at Grips.
That's
my dirty Grips.
Yeah.
No apologies. You can tell it to the people that are losing their homes because our industry is shut down.
And what those people need is a movie.
Their table or pay for their college education. That's what I sleep with every night.
That's who he sleeps with.
Yeah, the pain, the anguish.
Oh,
industry.
You get the point. So here's the deal, though.
Tom Cruise is mad.
But I kind of agree with him. He's trying to save everyone's jobs. He's trying to protect other people. And what happened is two people were looking in on the monitor, but they weren't. They called a meter. They had to be a meter apart or something. And they weren't. And that's why he went crazy. And then when he learned again that this outburst was released, he had another outburst, which that audio has not yet been released. But five crew members have called it quits. They're not working on the set anymore. And he gave himself, Sean, an early Christmas gift, and he's flown to Miami with his son Connor to take a break for the holidays.
The righteous tyrant. I mean, I love these pseudo-intellectual, self-righteous frauds who think he's so important that somehow by him pretending to be somebody else makes things better. Shut the hell up before a real person slaps you in the ear, dummy.
And who does Tom Cruise look like, Sean?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Hello, you just told me during the break.
Some woman came up to me.
Some
if
people.
Tom Cruise was heterosexual and not the cultist, he might resemble me.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning, Amy Jacobson here. Sean from Elmwood Park in for Dan Proft today. You know, I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that 80 million Americans voted for Joe Biden.
Sure they did.
I mean, yeah. Are you still having a hard time with that?
Yeah, it's perfectly legit. This is the greatest fraud in U.S. history, bar none.
Well,
and there's been a lot of frauds.
There's a new Trump petition asking the Supreme Court to overturn Pennsylvania election results that was filed last night. We'll see where that goes. And in Georgia, they still haven't corrected the numbers. They discovered and found out that 1,700 people voted twice. They voted for a mail-in ballot, and then on Election Day, they went in again and voted. And that's called voter fraud, and they should be arrested. You know, to show people, hey, we don't allow this in America.
Every district this happened to is run by the Democrat mafia. And until you reject them and wake up, they're going to keep doing it.
No, the Secretary of State in Georgia is a Republican. He's a Republican.
It doesn't matter. It's the districts. It's the voting hubs. He's just a Republican shill like Mitt Romney. He just wants that machine turned back on so he can cash out.
With more on this, let's welcome back to the program Chuck DeCaro, first investigative reporter at CNN, and his beautiful wife, Lynn Russell, also former anchor, for Headline News, I do believe, and CNN. Good morning to both of you. How are you?
Morning, Sean. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well.
Good morning.
So you're registered voters in Georgia, correct?
My wife is. I'm here where America begins in West Virginia. Get to the side of the Shenandoah, and all is the way it should be.
Wow. All right. So, Lynn, let's start with you. Are you confident that you're going to have fair elections for the two Senate runoffs, which take place January 5th?
Absolutely not. Here's what I did because of COVID, and I'm going to just leave the room because we're in the same room, but we have a delay going here. For the first one, right in November, I had requested an absentee ballot. And just in case, right? And knowing full well how, anyway, because it's not new to me, but this is new to me. The extent of it is overwhelming, disgusting, disappointing, and demoralizing. And anyway, so I had my absentee ballot. but I didn't use it. I drove there to vote in person, to early vote in person, and I was heartened when I went in while the social distancing waited an hour and a half outside, and the weather was good, and inside and watched. And I don't know what whether he was Republican or Democrat, but he was sitting there, and the woman at the computer said, "Did you request an absentee ballot?" And I said, "Well, yes, I did. I was really glad, you know, that she caught it." I said, "But I don't need it. I'm not here. I'm not casting it. I'm here, so I'm not casting it." And you know, that made me feel pretty good. I had no idea the extent to which it would be completely screwed up in every other way. And you've got a Republican governor, voted for the guy. He used to be Secretary of State, Brian Kemp. Mm-hmm. And Raffensperger's Republican, right? And I don't. It shouldn't make a difference whether it's Democrat or Republican, as far as the treating the vote with the respect that it deserves. But how screwed up can it be? I'm trying not to use all the language I normally would use.
So, do you, in your heart of hearts, you think Georgia went for Trump?
Of course, of course. And this time, again, the same thing: absentee ballot. But I'm not going to be able to be there. And I walked into the very small post office where we are. And announced that I hold in my hand, like Karnak the Magnificent, I hold in my hand a genuine Georgia absentee ballot, and everything stopped. And nobody knows what's going on, and it's really, really sad. The problem is they haven't changed anything about the way they're doing it. They're just going to maybe allow people to watch, but they're not changing the way you do it. I can be anybody and request an absentee ballot in my name, in somebody else's name, and all they're going to do is the signature on the ballot to the signature on the request, not the signature in the database. That's screwed up.
Yeah. And the real problem is that aside from just that issue, there's the very hackable, internet-friendly voting machines with untraceable data. So the reality is... They could do the old-fashioned ballot stuffing, Lynn, that Chuck, your husband, and I grew up in the neighborhoods that perfected it, right? The Democrat mafia neighborhoods. Or they could do the modern, where Facebook and Google and Silicon Valley is the IT department for the neo-Marxist Democrat mafia. So they got it locked up eight ways to Tuesday. Right?
And you know what? I feel so left out. Because I'm Italian. Don't I get any mafia?
No, you don't, because DeCaro is the real Italian, and I have even a hard time, because I'm lucky enough to know him where we've talked off air, and I have a hard time even listening to him, because I know he's smiling ear to ear, because he's married to you, which is the equivalent of a kid being locked in Kittyland, pretending to be angry.
Oh, bless his heart. He's such a sweetheart. I'm the lucky one. I am, go on record as saying, I am the lucky one, and he cooked.
And you cook, good. So, Chuck, what do you make of all this?
This is directed at Sean, Amy. Mm-hmm. Sean, you're focused way down low in the grass. The United States is in a war, and it doesn't realize it's in a war. Now, please excuse me while I go professorial on you, but this is what I teach when I lecture at the National Defense University and National Intelligence University. The United States goes to war when it sees clear and present danger. What happens if the danger is present but not clear, like excessive cigarette smoking, or the danger is clear but not, the danger is clear and not present like cigarette smoking, or present and not clear like slow poison that Lucretia Borgia used with great political effectiveness during the Renaissance? It's my view that the Chinese, not the Russians, the Chinese, have adopted a generational, slow-motion war against the United States. Oddly, the seeds for how to do that came from my friend, the late Alvin Toffler, who influenced Deng Xiaoping with his book, The Third Wave, about the effect of computers on modern times. He also gave him later a copy of War and Anti-War. He, Deng Xiaoping,
25, 30 years ago, was so taken with this that he put the Chinese People's Liberation Air Force on the job. And their two best colonels, Quang Xiaoping and Liang, wrote a book called War Without Limits. Okay? And War Without Limits, published here, is Unrestricted Warfare. Talks about essentially the death of 1,000 cuts across time against the United States in four areas of national power: diplomatic, information, military, and economic. Okay? To give you an idea, you see the Chinese build up all of the South China Sea with the artificial islands and spending gazillions on advanced research, including artificial intelligence and microbiology to create a race of soldiers who are indomitable, just like out of science fiction. Economic, you'll see that they, after we gave up the Panay Canal to Trujillo, the first people to come in and bid 30 years ago were the Chinese, who've been running the Panama Canal, now digging a bigger one, and are going next door and propping up the regime in Venezuela and being nice to the folks in Costa Rica by giving 3,500 police cars and a national stadium. Okay, diplomatic efforts, they're slowly talking to third world countries to build up their votes in the United Nations. And information, you're seeing it here and now, not through direct payments, but through second, third, fourth, fifth parties. I would recommend that you go to page 191 in the book, and here's Joe Biden's son, and there's Swalwell, where it says, special funds needed for, quote, lobbying to influence legislators and executives. I ask you to come down from the grassroots and go up to a bigger, more important problem, and that is China and the concept of slow motion war. Read the book, guys.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Chuck, and you know that I don't.
You better not, Sean. I'm the instructor.
I want to add a caveat, and I've coined the Cold Civil War that I believe we've been in since the 60s. Mm-hmm. And that's true, and you're 100% right. And to me, the Soviet ideology of both the old Cold War, of China, of Cuba, of Venezuela, you're exactly right. And you could put a face on it. You could put a name of another country. But the reality is we have subversives in position of power in this country. That's so true. To blame another country, to me, is to take our eye off the ball that the real Cold Civil War started in the 60s when we allowed communists to take over our education system. So I'm not surprised. In fact, what I'm only surprised at is that there's even this much resistance to it. The reality is, Chuck, you know this. This is an ideological war that we are way behind in. And now you see this scumbag, lowlife in diapers, pretend to be president, this facade of a man, and he's just the Trojan horse of the Soviets. So what do we do now, Chuck? Because I say you come down here with me in South Florida, we walk around in our Speedos, and when we're not picking up the old women, no offense, Lynn, we are trying to start a secession movement. What do you say?
Well, I'm not sure of the secession. Remember that Lincoln spent the better part of his presidency making sure that you didn't have secession. You don't want that. You know, divided, we're weak. I mean, you could go back 30 years and read the book, The Nine Countries of North America, and you really don't want that. What you want is one strong United States of America. So
I'm not going to bend knee to Biden and the rest of these scumbag Democrats. I'm not. Chuck, I'm telling you right now, I'm done with them.
Yeah, that's fine. But if you disengage, you get to lose, especially if they actually manage to get the levers of power. Then you really lose.
We lost. So when Mitch McConnell's my hope,
is, what you need is and more activist citizenry. You know, this is not the time to be apathetic. I mean, the people in Georgia are thinking, well, if I don't vote, I'll show them how pissed off I am. No, that's not the way to do it.
No, I totally disagree. It's a rigged game, Chuck. Come on. Did you go to the neighborhood and play with Jilly in the loaded dice? What am I, a pigeon? I'm not going to turn to my abuser and pretend I got a chance. The dice are fake. It's loaded. It's rigged. I'm done. I'm going to waste my time?
Sean. You go to his mother and say, Mrs. Antonucci, I want to tell you about your boy Rocco.
Yeah.
And then done. It's over. You see, you don't know how to play this game because you're just a kid.
No, these
but,
days are
you know,
gone.
Mrs. Antonucci, and she comes out and you know, Antonio is standing there and he's about to get the strap across his ass.
We did
not
that,
gonna do anything.
We did that. We went to the Supreme Court, which is Mrs. Antonucci in your analogy, and she gave me the finger and slammed the door. Now I got nothing.
Because you didn't speak Italian, Sean.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there you go. All right, real quick, before we let you guys go, Chuck, I love the vehicle that you bought, Lynn. Can you tell people? And did you tweet out a picture of that? That's not a vehicle. That's more of an armored tank.
Oh, yeah.
Was that for COVID? For what was that for?
No, you and my wife share, anchor woman-ness.
Oh, God.
There are things an anchor woman will or won't do. And, here in West Virginia, every 3 or 4 years get a massive snowstorm. During the last one, about 3 or 4
So don't be there. See the difference?
And she says,
"Look at her.
She was worried. We were both ill, and I said, we can't get out because the Suburban, which I have a big monster Suburban, had snow up past the bumper, and the plow couldn't get to us. The ambulance couldn't get, and we couldn't get to them. So I said, look, honey, what I'm going to do is, buy a large diesel lifted pickup, 4-door leather, really nice, and
armor resistant.
Right.
It's
and she's
huge. It's
tapping." Tapping her toe with her hands on her little tiny waist, looks me straight in the eyes with these brown lasers and says, I'm not riding in any freaking pickup. Okay, fine, honey. So I went out and I bought a M1081, which is a 17,700-pound deuce-and-a-half, two-and-a-half-ton truck, four-wheel full-time drive, Caterpillar engine, Allison transmission. Mm-hmm. It stands 9.6 feet off the ground, and it can. It's like a backwards lowrider. It can suck itself down from the top down so it can fit in a C-130 and you can parachute it out. But best of all is it'll ford 3 feet of water and 3 feet of snow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hook up a snorkel, you can wade through water 6 feet deep. So it's
let me know how that goes. Well, I'm
typical
with the air conditioning and putting another capsule on my Nespresso.
Well, it's lots of air conditioning. You can take the top off, the windows off, and just have the breeze coming through. It's an army truck. It'll go anywhere.
There's a breeze coming through, all right.
It's particularly nice when I go meet my friend Buzz Carpenter, who's a SR-71 pilot, retired, and we meet at Dunkin' Donuts, and he shows up in his car, and I show up in my truck.
Typical East Coast Italian guy telling you everything's fine, and he buys his wife an armored vehicle. Typical. Don't worry about a thing. Here's your Humvee, honey. Come on, Chuck. You don't fool me.
All right. Chuck DeCaro, Lynn Russell, thank you so much for coming on, and happy holidays to both of you, and good luck in that Georgia election. We're praying for you.
Yeah, thank you. We need it. We really do. We've got
time this week. We ought to talk about the details of China some more and let your audience understand or get a God's eye view of what's really happening over time. It's the time scale of warfare that's changed.
Yep.
And all the stuff you're seeing in the bottom is just little manifestations of a much larger grand strategy. So
be safe and be happy, you guys, and keep your powder dry.
Thank you.
Right.
And they both joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Listen to Dan and Amy on your smartphone. Download the AM560 mobile app today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.